Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Our literature unit continues today. Remember, our featured novel is Great Expectations by the English writer Charles Dickens. It's a story of rising from rags and going to riches, a rags-to-riches story. And we summarized the story last time. Remember the characters? We've got Pip, we've got Magwitch, Miss Havisham, we've got Estella. And in the end, I guess Pip gets to realize his dream of being together with Estella, and they are destined to be together. So I guess that the story has a happy ending.
Today we're going to focus more on the author himself, Charles Dickens. He had a life that was pretty similar to Pip's. He didn't have a lot of money. He was a laborer to begin with, but then he was able to have some success and he became a gentleman. So it's kind of interesting. It's a different way of life. So when you read the book or watch the film, you can see that life was very different.For the English back then, they definitely had classes of people. So it really was based on where you were lucky enough to be born, what family you were born into, if they had money and land. Your life was so different from those who had to labor for a living. And the chance to be educated or get an education was only offered to those with money. So life is really different today, so we should be grateful. We're going to go ahead and start by reading through today's lesson, and then we'll be back to talk about Charles Dickinson's life.
Charles Dickens was born in Landport, England in 1812. As a child, he was an avid reader and enjoyed spending time outdoors. For a few years, he received a private education. This privileged life came to an end at age 12, however, when his father was sent to debtor's prison for failing to repay his loans. To help support the family, Dickens was forced to drop out of school and work in a bottling factory. The terrible working conditions were extremely traumatizing for Dickens, and he felt he was above such a mundane job. The experience motivated him to work hard so he could make a better life for himself. After his father finished serving time in prison, Dickens was able to quit his job and return to school. Upon leaving school, he worked as a law clerk and a court reporter. At the age of 24, he began writing his first novel, The Pickwick Papers. It was about the members of a traveling society and their adventures. The book became a hit and transformed Dickens into one of England's most popular writers. During his career, Dickens crafted many best-selling novels, including Oliver Twist, David Copperfield, and Great Expectations. Most of his books deal with the immense changes that swept through England during the Victorian era. Because of the Industrial Revolution, social classes were being redefined. It became possible for common people to go from rags to riches through entrepreneurship. Dickens used his own experiences of climbing the social ladder as fuel for his stories. Although he was not an orphan, Dickens' life closely mirrored Pip's, as he, too, transformed himself from a laborer into a gentleman.
So Charles Dickens was born in a city called Landport. I'm not familiar with this particular city, Landport, England, back in 1812. As a child, it says he was an avid reader and enjoyed spending time outdoors. If you're an avid reader, you love to read. So a lot of our very good writers today, our authors, they were avid readers too as children. I love to read. That's all I wanted to do was read books when I was young. And it drove my brother crazy because the two of us were similar in age and he wanted to have me go outside and play, and I just wanted to read books.
Yeah, I remember people like that, nerds, eggheads, they just want to stay inside and read all the time.
Love
reading.
Yeah,
books are fine, but gee, you got to move that body around sometime. Nowadays, of course, people don't read so much. They play with their phones all the time. But in any case, he loved to read. He was an avid reader. And also, he spent some time outdoors doing physical activity. So I guess he had a well-balanced life there. And for a few years, he received a private education. I guess that means he did not have to go to public schools. He went to private schools, which in England mean you get a better education. And this privileged life came to an end at age 12. However, when his father was sent to debtor's prison for failing to repay his loans. Now, if you're privileged, that means you have special privileges, special rights or advantages that other people may not have, okay? So if you're from a rich family, of course, we could say you're from a privileged family. Sometimes people say, well, if you're a man, you're privileged, and if you're a woman, you're not so privileged. It depends on your way of looking at things. In any case here, he had kind of a high-class, upper-class sort of lifestyle here. So he got to go to private school, and he probably got to eat all the best food and go to the nicest places and things like that. But, hey, that all ended when he became 12 years old because his father was sent to debtor's prison. His father couldn't pay back his loans. If you pay someone back the money you have borrowed from them, you're repaying that money. And, of course, when somebody lends you money, that is a loan. You might borrow money from the bank, so the bank will give you a loan.
Right. This was one of the weird things to me back in history. They used to have these debtors' prison. Can you imagine how many people would be in debtors' prison today? If you have any debt at all, they would throw you in jail if you couldn't pay. And, of course, there's no way to get out because how do you make money if you're in prison? So it was a horrible idea. I'm glad we don't have that anymore. If you repay something, you pay something back that someone has given you. You can also repay a favor. If someone helps you out in a way, it doesn't have to be associated with money. It could be maybe they helped you with your homework. To repay them, you could take them out to eat, or maybe you could help them learn a new skill. You do something to repay the favor. He had to repay his loans, but of course his father couldn't because he was in prison. Yeah, we get loans these days for things like houses. Those are mortgages. We call those mortgages. But yeah, a lot of people are in debt today. To help support the family, Dickens was forced to drop out of school and work in a bottling factory, a factory that produced glass bottles. Back then, they didn't have the plastic that we do today. They were all glass. So that's what he was doing at 12 years old. So he had a tough life after the age of 12. Before that, he was in a pretty good situation. He came from definitely an upper class family. So the terrible working conditions that he experienced were extremely traumatizing for Dickens, and he felt he was above such a mundane job. If something traumatizes you, it's very harmful to you. Something that can be traumatizing is perhaps a dog bites you, and from then on, you're terrified of dogs. It's traumatizing. Well, it was hard for him to be placed in this situation that was extremely difficult. Those factories were awful back then. And if you're talking about mundane, you're talking about something that's boring, that doesn't really bring you any excitement. It's the same thing day after day. I've had some mundane jobs. You know, sometimes you have to pay the bills, so you take some mundane jobs. He felt he was better than that. He kind of thought, yeah, I'm kind of classy. What am I doing here?
Yep, indeed. I'm above this. This is below me. What the heck am I doing with all these peasants here, all these low-life scum people? I should be around all the best people. After all, I'm used to that.
I'm sure he didn't think of them as scum, Tom.
Probably not, but no. What the heck. We can use that word here to describe such people because people do see them that way in some circumstances. But yeah, he thought it was a mundane job. I thought some of my jobs in the past were kind of mundane as well. That's why I'm having having so much fun doing this job. But in any case, the experience of working in that bottling factory and working in such a mundane job, motivated him to work hard so he could make a better life for himself. So he didn't expect these things to be given to him on a silver platter. He thought, I guess I'm going to have to work for this. My father is a nice guy and everything, but he made a big mistake. He couldn't pay back those loans. So now I'm on my own. I need to work hard to make a better life for myself. So after his father finished serving time in prison, Dickens was able to quit his job and return to school. So I guess his father got out of prison. He was in prison for a certain amount of time. Then his father could return to work and provide for his family. So young Charles there didn't have to work in the bottling factory anymore. He could quit that job, take this job, and shove it. And then he returned to school. He went back to school.
Upon leaving school, he worked as a law clerk and a court reporter. So he would go in and help an attorney as an assistant. And also, if you're a court reporter, you are the one who is taking down notes, either through typing or longhand. He probably had to just write shorthand. He was taking down what everyone said in court. That's the court documents that they have forever. At the age of 24, he began writing his first novel. That's when he first thought, I'm going to try this myself. And his first novel was called The Pickwick Papers. This is one of his books I haven't read. I've read Oliver Twist, David Copperfield, and Great Expectations, but I haven't read his Pickwick Papers, so I can't recommend it or not recommend it. You might want to give it a shot. What this book was about, the members of a traveling society and their adventures. A traveling society. So kind of a group that traveled around and went from place to place with each other. Sounds like it would be kind of fun.
Indeed, and society generally refers to a place where you live, the country where you live, or the city in society. You want to be an outstanding member of society. But in this particular case, I think it's a specific group of people, maybe rich people or something, and they would travel around, and the book was about their adventures, where they went to, the things they did, the experiences they had, etc., etc. So this book became a hit. It was very popular, and it transformed Dickens into one of England's most popular writers. So here we've got that word transform. I think we've talked about this word in the past. We're going to talk about it again. That just means you make a change in form or a change in form or appearance or in characteristics. Of course, the best example of this would be the Transformers movies, you know, those robots that can change into cars and things like that, because they transform from one thing into another. So here he was just some kind of young kid here going to school, but when he published this book, he was changed. He was transformed into one of England's most popular writers. He probably got to meet the Queen and stuff like that. He was really hot stuff.
You can also use transform to talk about redoing your apartment. Maybe you want to take one of your rooms and transform it into a study or another music room, or maybe change it to something else. But you can transform actual things as well. He was lucky because back then not all of the writers had their books published and were getting enough attention that they could make some money by being a writer. He was really fortunate. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher explain a couple of things, and then we'll be back to continue talking about Mr. Charles Dickens.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 16 文学单元的第二天课程。今天的文章介绍知名作家 Charles Dickens 的出生背景。文章的第一段提到 Dickens 于西元1812年出生在英国的 Landport， 本来过着优渥的生活，还能接受私人教育。但是我们看到第一段的第四句，This privileged life came to end at age 12, however, when his father was sent to debtor's prison for failing to repay his loans. 然而在他12岁时，当他父亲因为无力偿还借款而被送去负债人监狱，这享有特权的生活也跟着结束。 形容词 privileged 意思是享有特权的、优越的。将字尾的 d 去掉就变成名词，意思是特权、特别待遇。另外一个相关的形容词就是 underprivileged， UNDER PRIVILEGED， 意思是弱势的、贫困的。例如 Susan has decided to devote her life to helping underprivileged children。 苏珊决定将其一生奉献在帮助弱势儿童。我们接着看下一句， To help support the family, Dickens was forced to drop out of school and work in a bottling factory。 为了帮忙养活家人，狄更斯被迫退学并到装瓶厂工作。 Force 在此做动词用，强迫的意思。Force somebody to 加原形动词就是指强迫某人去做某事。例如 Paul forced himself to get up early in the morning in order not to miss the important meeting。 为了不错过这个重要的会议，保罗强迫自己早上早点起床。另外 drop out of school 就是辍学的意思。片语 drop out 意思就是退出。例如The athlete sprained his ankle in the first round of the competition and had to drop out. 这位运动员在比赛的第一回合扭伤脚踝，必须退出比赛。文章的第二段提到 Dickens 在他的父亲服刑完后，总算能够辞去工作回到学校。我们看到这一段的第二句， Upon leaving school, he worked as a law clerk and a court reporter. 后来离开学校，他就从事法官助理及法院记录员。 Upon 或 on 加名词或 ving 逗号，然后再接一完整句子，表示一怎么样就怎么样的意思，就相当于 as soon as 加一完整句子逗号再接一完整句子。使用此句型时要注意，当 as soon as 子句的主词和主要子句的主词相同时，才能将 as soon as 子句改成 upon 加名词或 ving。 例如 As soon as Jason heard that he had been admitted to his preferred college, he shouted with joy. 杰森一听到自己或许进入自己想要的大学，就高兴地大叫。这句也可以改成 Upon hearing that he had been admitted to his preferred college, Jason shouted with joy。另外这个句型也可以变成倒装句型，句型是 No sooner had 加主词加 VPP than 主词加 VED。 所以刚刚的例句我们又可以改成 No sooner had Jason heard that he had been admitted to his preferred college than he shouted with joy。 文章的第二段还提到 Dickens 在24岁时开始写了他的第一本小说 The Pickwick Papers。我们看到第二段的最后一句， The book became a hit and transformed Dickens into one of England's most popular writers. 这本书后来变成畅销书，还让狄更斯变成英国最受欢迎的作家之一。动词 transform 有改变、改观、改造的意思，名词是 transformation， T-R-A-N-S F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N。 片语Transform A into B 就是把 A 改变成 B。 例如 After their son moved out, the couple transformed his room into a guest room。 在儿子搬出去后，这对夫妻将他的房间改造成客房。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to continue with the next part of our lesson, whether you like it or not. I'm sure you like it, though, because this is very interesting subject matter. The subject is Charles Dickens, the famous English writer. Now, we're talking about his life and times. Remember, he was kind of a privileged boy, but he had to work in a bottling factory after his father went to prison. His father got back out of prison, but then young Charles was able to get back to school, and later on he wrote his first novel, The Pickwick Papers, which made him very popular. The book was a hit. It's probably even available for free online somewhere, and that transformed him into one of England's most popular writers, and he remains so until this day. Now, looking at the next paragraph here, it says, during his career, Dickens crafted many best-selling novels, including Oliver Twist, David Copperfield, and Great Expectations. I think there's also A Tale of Two Cities and various other novels. I'm not very good about reading Dickens because they're quite long, and I'm not good about reading fiction if somebody just made all this stuff up, you know. I'm better with short stories. But in any case, when you create something that requires a lot of thought and a lot of experience, you can use the word to craft something, to craft something. You create something with great skill and care. This is kind of related to a phenomenon nowadays of craft beer. A lot of pubs and restaurants, they make their own beer. So if you go there, you can try their beer. We call those craft beers because they're made by those restaurants themselves.
Yeah, I would say that when you use that verb to craft, I would typically think you need some sort of artistic ability. You know, it's not like you're making a car in a factory. Although some of those really expensive cars are probably handcrafted, where people actually get in with their hands and do something pretty fancy. Yeah, I'm with Tom. I think you need a lot of talent if you're going to craft something. I was just remembering which book my friend gave me. It was A Tale of Two Cities. That's the first edition, which means it's the first time that book was published. So I have a really old book. She paid way too much money for it.
It must be worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was a really nice gift. It's got that famous sentence, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. That's probably Charles Dickinson's most famous phrase. That's from A Tale of Two Cities. That's good, too. But he had some really great books. Now, most of his books deal with the immense changes that swept through England during the Victorian era. The Victorian era is a time in England's history when Queen Victoria was queen. And they had a lot of changes back then. We had the Industrial Revolution just starting. There was a certain attitude and feel during the Victorian era. So there were a lot of changes that happened. Immense means really big. So really big changes that were going. An era, again, is just a specific point in time that has some sort of characteristic that identifies it. We're definitely in the AI era right now.
Indeed. And yes, the Victorian era was when Queen Victoria was the queen. And
yeah,
it was kind of a snobby period of time, kind of conservative, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, during that time, we had the Industrial Revolution when people started leaving the farms and heading to the cities and started working in factories.
Children were in factories, too.
You bet. That was before child labor laws. But in any case here, because of the Industrial Revolution, social classes were being redefined. Before that, the social classes were defined a certain way because there were the farmers and then there were the city folk and the aristocracy. Those classes were pretty clear. They were well defined. But if you redefine something, that means you give something a different definition. You can do that to words sometimes. Words become redefined as time goes on. I believe the word, let's see, what's the word? Awful? The word awful nowadays means like really terrible, but I think in the past, awful meant something really good because the word awe there means you're really admiring something, but later on somehow that word was redefined.
It became possible for common people, or we also say the common folk, to go from rags to riches through entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is something that's very popular in our own country of Taiwan. It's when people start their own business. They have an idea, they know what they want to do, and they are entrepreneurs. If you're someone who does start the business, you're called an entrepreneur. So these common folks, and we're talking about the folks that weren't born into money, they weren't the aristocracy or the high class folks. They were people who were born pretty poor, and worked their whole lives from the time they were able to work until the time they died. They were working. They were able to go from rags to riches, from being poor to wealthy very quickly because they had great ideas, very smart ideas, started their own businesses and became entrepreneurs.
Boy, does that sound familiar. I think that description can be used to describe Taiwan to a T.
Totally.
Going from rags to riches, people working on a farm down in Yunlin one day, and then a week later, they're living in a high-rise apartment building in Taipei with all the money in the world. But in any case here, yes, indeed, this period of time was characterized by lots of common people, regular folks, peasants, the common clave, etc. They were going from rags to riches by coming up with the new ideas and setting up businesses and making lots of money, etc., etc. Now, Dickens used his own experiences of climbing the social ladder as fuel for his stories. You can climb many kinds of ladders. That means you're going from the lower positions to the higher positions. You can climb the corporate ladder if you get an entry-level job in a company and you start working and you get promotions and stuff like that up until you're the vice president and maybe even you become the president someday. Who knows? You're climbing the corporate ladder. But here, if you're climbing the social ladder, that's more being an outstanding member of society, in high society, usually as part of blue-blooded people, as part of aristocracy.
That's right. So if it's fuel for something, it gives it material for him to write about. Fuel actually powers something. So think about that, that word used that way. It powered his books. It gave him material that he could use to create his stories. So that makes sense. Usually, authors write about what they know. And comedians joke about what they've been through. So it works. We use what we've been through as material. Our experiences are very important. So he, too, was able to transform himself from a laborer is someone who works very hard, usually with their hands. Nowadays, we refer to them as blue-collar workers. And white-collar workers are people who work in an office setting or corporation. But a lot of these blue-collar workers end up making more money than white-collar workers. So don't dismiss some of these trades that people go into, like welding and plumbing. You can make a lot of money and you don't have to work as many hours sometimes.
Yeah, you might have time to attend your son or daughter's basketball game or something, while people who are trying to climb the corporate ladder are stuck working overtime until 10 or 11 at night. Think about that when you make your career choice. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
文章的最后一段提到 Dickens 还写了好几本畅销小说，像是 Oliver Twist 孤雏类、 Great Expectations 远大前程等。我们看到最后一段的倒数第二句， Dickens used his own experiences of climbing the social ladder as fuel for his stories. 狄更斯把自身攀爬社会阶梯的经验拿来激励自己写作。名词 fuel 是燃料的意思，Fossil fuel 就是指煤、石油、天然气之类的化石燃料。Fossil, F-O-S-S-I-L。另外，片语 add fuel to the fire 或 add fuel to the flames 就是指 to make a bad situation even worse by saying or doing something that makes someone angry， 火上加油的意思。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And please join us again next time when we continue to talk about Great Expectations, and we'll talk about some of the themes and ideas then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.